Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell. Back to throw. First down. The pass is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got victory. 22 for Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is up? Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. This is our holiday episode. Episode number 15. It's Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. Here's the deal for the show. All right. Monday is Christmas. We will not have a podcast. So enjoy the holiday. Hope you got your gifts shopping done. Wednesday, we'll be back. We're going to kind of do a best of, get to know us better, a little Q&A with me and Raja. And then Friday of next week, we're going to get you a bowl preview. All the New Year's six games, the playoffs, we're going to pick them, get you up to date. So if you want to make some money, you better be listening to that. So that's the deal. This is episode 15. My man Raja, how's it going?
Life is good, brother.
Nice. We have an addition to the show. Because yes. We're like in the infancy of this podcast. We're trying to figure out our way. And we're getting really good support on the Apple Podcasts. Our numbers are starting to get up there consistently in the top 50. We've been up in the top 10 before, but now we've got the addition that's going to put us at the top 5 for sure. Our girl, Hannah. What's up, Hannah? How are you?
No pressure. I got to get that top 5.
Exactly. You better start bringing it. So Hannah works with us here at CBS Sports. I could not say Debo's last name. I still can't. That's why I just go with Debo. DeBerardinas. DeBerardino.
Damn, that was good.
DeBerardinas.
Yeah, it took all right. A couple months.
Debo yeah. is right there. Way. So your last name, Ostapichuk.
Oh, so bad.
It was bad.
Roger,
yes, a stop check.
Yes,
a stop check.
Yeah.
So like, we got history
Chuck.
Though.
A like, stop check.
It's like you're arguing with a guy named Chuck. Oh, stop check.
Oh, Hannah, see now, oh, Debo. I asked Debo. That's a great way to remember.
I definitely didn't tell you what you said though.
Wait, what did I say?
Whatever he just said, I'll
stop
with Chuck.
Oh, stop with Chuck.
Oh, stop
I've
Chuck.
Heard it all. It's
oh,
okay.
stop Chuck. All right, that's easy. Like now I'm good. Now I'm good to go forever. So welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
As we kind of weave our way out, figure out where we're going. But I think it's going to be a great addition. Pumped to have you join us. Let's get right to it. All right, we got a big show coming up. We got some props and picks. My favorite segment. The props really are better than the picks, I think. Some stuff on Bills Mafia. That's Hannah's area of expertise. We'll do our five-star Q&A. We're going to have a ton of fun today. So let's get right to it. NBA was in full force last night. Bowl season was too. But again, another atrocious bowl. That's a whole other topic.
Hey, slow me down, bro. Yeah. Pause up.
Oh,
come
that's
on.
Right.
Slow me down.
That's
baby.
Right.
Pause
well,
up, baby.
I was trying to keep that on the down, though, for your FIU Panthers. I didn't want to bring that up. I thought maybe it was a sore
We lost
subject.
Our QB early, though. It
yeah,
was
that
ugly.
Is true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. You didn't have a fighting chance there after that. Because they got beat by Temple 28-3. But the Cavs were playing. They beat the Bulls in a close game. That really wasn't the story of the night, though. It was Isaiah Thomas, who now looks more like it's actually not a possibility, but more of a probability that he's going to return January 3rd in Boston, which is a little bit crazy. So let's hear the sound from Isaiah Thomas talking about his return.
Yeah, he's like that. But I'm not tripping. It's just crazy that they would do that. Like, I'm not mad. Like, I'd be mad if I went to a weak-ass team. I'm just like, we're going to win the finals anyway. Like, that's what's crazy, but it's just like, damn, after all I do for the city, going to be mad as
So the city's going to be mad. He's talking about Boston, mad as bleep, in case you couldn't hear it. I don't think they're going to be that mad at him at all. Like, he has the perfect situation because he was traded away. He loves Boston. They loved him.
He meant that the city was going to be mad that they traded him.
Yeah, they are. They are that mad. They're mad at Danny Ainge. They're not mad at him. This is one of those ones where you have a player returning to a city, and, you know, it gets kind of weird sometimes. The players leave. They make choices. It's a business where they get booed. You know, it's kind of an awkward thing. Isaiah's going to get much love, like, throughout the night.
Yeah, I think Isaiah's both correct and incorrect. He is correct in that initially – they probably had a little beef that he was traded, only until they realized they were getting Kyrie Irving in return for Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward, at which point they're okay with it. So it is the perfect situation because the only person with any real beef at this point, I believe, to be Isaiah Thomas, and he gets to come in on a loaded Cavs roster, probably in his first game back. He's going to be super fresh. The C's aren't playing great, and it's a perfect platform to him to just go absolutely like, banana cakes against his old team. The city is going to show him love. He did nothing but, like, you know, thug out there in Boston for a few years and play through some, like, real some real like personal circumstances, like real champion type of metal he showed. But business is business at the end of the day. And again, you got Kyrie Irving, like, and Gordon Hayward. I think the fans are cool. They appreciate what you did. We'll show you love for that, but they're okay, bro.
I do hope they show him love.
Yeah, they will.
It's like when Dwayne Wade came back to Miami. It's like, you got to show him love no matter what.
What do you do? So is there any chance? I don't think we've ever seen this before, because I think you show them love when he gets the intros, right? The player intros when you warm up. But then once the game starts, you're the enemy. Like, there's no, like, what if there's a situation where Isaiah hits a game-winning shot? They're not cheering for him.
Look, that goes away real quick.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
love.
The love goes away real quick until you start hanging buckets on your old team. I got traded from Phoenix, and I wasn't, I mean, I wasn't beloved like Isaiah. I didn't carry a team on my back for years. But, like, I had, like, a section in the arena called the Bell Ringers, and, like, you know, I loved Phoenix.
You had it like
and,
that, huh?
Well, yeah, I was a part of a really cool time in Phoenix. So, like, I had my little fans and stuff like that, and when I got traded – you know, even Steve Nash came out and was disappointed that it happened, and the fans were. When I went back, they cheered like heck for me in the opening tip, even when I hit my first couple buckets. But when that game got tight, it was over. They were pro Suns. They were not pro Raja. And that Boston crowd will be the same way with IT.
I had sections of fans, too, and it was like, I tell my family, don't sit near them. They were the ones telling, get him out, bench him, get rid of Cannell, get him out of there. I had to keep my family away from that section. The story of the NBA, like, this is only one of the moves, major moves, that took place this past offseason. I mean, the NBA drama was really, it captured the NBA world. Like, it was the story.
Yeah.
And it was great for the NBA because you came into the season with major names, star power on the moves, trying to create super teams. Everybody's trying to compete with the Warriors. So you've had a lot of these examples of players in new teams, in new cities, and it is sort of a situation where how do you handle it as a player? So Carmelo is back in New York Saturday. So let's hear the reaction for Carmelo.
And up forward at 6'8 from Syracuse, number 7, Carmelo.
So that's a warm welcome.
It is. And you can, you know that, like, the fans are going to cheer and the welcome is going to be warm when the away announcer, because that's the home announcer. So it would be the away announcer for Carmelo. It's not even his home team anymore. Announces your name like that. Usually when you go to New York, it's like, and, you know, starting at guard, 6'4 from Florida State, Danny Cannell. You know, when they go to Carmelo, you know, they're going to show you some love there. And I think a lot of it depends on the way you leave a situation. Carmelo had his faults there in New York. Like, part of the problem was him. Like, I want to, you know, I'm not hanging at all on Phil Jackson, but Phil Jackson made the mess. You know, he was the one that couldn't keep, you know, stuff out of the papers. He was the one that just couldn't, you know, be an adult about the situation. And Carmelo tried to take the high road. So I think fans, you know, in that type of situation where it's not a player's fault, he's not demanding a trade, he's not trying to force his way out of somewhere, and it's clear that the organization is just inept at every turn, like, the fans will have some respect for that player and show him some love when he comes back.
Melo's a Knick. Like, and he made it a priority. He wanted to play there. That's when he left Denver. Like, he wanted to, and he wanted to remain a Knick, but he looked at it and it was just untenable. If he wants to get a championship,
right,
he had to try to go somewhere else. The reaction post-game was,
I'm always be kind of part of this culture here. And it, for me, it's different than any other basketball player that comes through here that play with the Knicks, because it's deeper than basketball when it comes to me in this city.
I will say this, as playing in a New York fan base when I was with the Giants, and I was average. We went to the playoffs once, but the New York fans, they are loyal. Like, they will remember you. They remember their players.
Right.
And, even now, if I'm in New York City, I'll have somebody come up to me, hey, man, G-Man, yeah. And occasionally I'll get it. Your offensive line was trash. Like, they'll remember certain things.
Right.
That playoff against the Vikings, you guys got hosed. Like, they are loyal forever. And if you can have by all accounts, like, Melo's career there did not live up to the expectation. Like, they thought Melo was going to bring them to the playoffs, make deep runs, get you some finals appearances. Never got that, and yet he's set for life in New York.
Yeah, that New York guy, too. I said it a couple episodes ago, I wish I had gotten a chance to play in New York. It would have just been super cool. I would have loved to experience that. You know, what sucked for Melo, and it's tough because it's what you had to give up to get Melo, is Mike D'Antoni actually had that shit pointed in the right direction. They had like a young Danilo Gallinari. They had a young Wilson Chandler. They had Raymond Felton was relatively, you know, in his prime, and they were winning. Like, I think they were on a playoff track. Like, the trajectory of that team was headed in the right direction, and you were going to be able to get Carmelo that offseason. It was obvious that he didn't want to be back in Denver. The shelf life had already kind of expired there, and you were going to get him. And James Dolan emptied the, like, pantry to bring him to the Knicks, and he had nobody with him. And so, like, it kind of sucked for Melo, because if you had dropped Melo into that nucleus that was already starting to be created there in New York, they actually had a chance to do what he wanted to do. But like, when you gave up everything you had to get him, it just put him in an impossible situation.
Paul George, another player that was on the move. Indiana with him, it was a little contentious because he had kind of hinted he wasn't committed to the Pacers every year. It seems like for the last couple of years, he didn't demand that he wanted out, but he definitely let it be known that he was willing to listen to other places. And he had to go back to Indiana on Wednesday. Listen to the return for him. So there's a booze. There's some booze there from him. I think that's to be expected. And I think every player, every professional realizes if you leave someplace and it's not the best exit, you're going to get booed. And it's just the deal. Like, you just kind of, it says anything bad about the Indiana Pacers fan base. It's expected.
No, yeah, it comes with the territory. You know, especially the way it went down, like he wanted out, you know, and he made it known to be out. And essentially you're telling a fan base and an organization that, like, you're not good enough to warrant me staying here. And that's hurtful to people and organizations. You know, sometimes, you know, you can get past that if you're a guy that's out in the community just, you know, doing so much for the area that you're living in. And I don't know that he was or wasn't, but you know, sometimes that can supersede, like, the booze. Like, people will forgive you wanting to leave and stuff like that, especially if you're kind of long in the tooth, too, and you've spent your whole career there. He's in his prime, you know. They're playing great this year. Mm-hmm. In his absence, they've had a really, really good season. So, yeah, I think the booze were warranted. And he played terrible. Like, the knock on Paul George in playoffs, right, last year, and I didn't really realize it because I watched him play the Heat all those years, and he was actually, like, working, like, against the Heat. He doesn't make big-time shots, so then it becomes like, how mentally tough is he? Like, when you can't make that game winner, like, he has an atrocious field goal percentage, like, down the stretch of games when it comes to game winners. He struggled, like, really bad against Indiana, both in Oklahoma City and when he comes back to Indiana. Like, I'm wondering if there's something there. Like, I start to question.
This is different outside of post-injury, because he had one of the nastiest injuries. This is throughout his entire career, you're saying?
Yeah, he has a history of not being able, like, I don't know if we could pull the stats on that, but he has a history of not being able to close, like, game-winning shots, which in and of itself, I'm like, hey, look, man, it's whatever. It's a roll of the dice. The averages will catch up the more he shoots them. But as a player who had been traded, I salivated at the opportunity to play any team that just traded me. Like, the Suns, both times I saw them, like, I tried to just I had good games because I was ready. Like, I was built to play in that game. And it concerns me when players aren't. Like, when they show up in those games and they lay eggs. Like, you should be ready to go. Like, you should have a chip on your shoulder trying to prove something.
Especially if you're Paul George, who was it before his injury was considered top five player in the NBA at his prime before the injury, and since then clearly hasn't been the same. And I'm with you. You feel like if you get enough of those opportunities, eventually they'll start to fall. But I wonder if he'll be back to that form. And ultimately, if you want to be considered a top 10, top 15 player in the league, you have to convert on those opportunities. Yeah. The game winners, the closers, because everybody gets stats. All the good players, but to be great, you got to be able to close.
That's right.
All right, so yesterday was signing day. We've had this early signing period, one of the first times we've ever had that in history.
We
did
change
the games. Yeah, you guys did good. Miami Hurricanes, they're top five. Mark Richt, that turnover chain is rolling. You brought something up, though. This isn't where we were going to go, but I have an interesting. I think the turnover chain is one of the best recruiting tools you've got. Here's my question for you. Hey, tell me this. Every high school kid wants to go try it on, wants to put it on,
right.
wants to get a chance to put, like, they're going to have a hype video made of it. Here's the question. Do you keep the turnover chain rolling? Like, do you do it next year, or do you hang that baby and put it up?
Oh,
in
no,
a...
you absolutely keep it going.
I
now
agree.
It's like legendary.
I agree. That's 10 pounds. It's
you
gold.
You can't go backwards.
You
got to
keep it rolling.
What happens if you're 3-3 next year? Are you still rolling out the turnover chain?
You quietly put it in the mothballs. Quietly.
Because I don't know if that's the best thing to do. I think you might go in a different direction because it had its moment.
Right.
And if it doesn't work as well next, well, what do you do if next year you don't have a turnover in a game? It's like, yeah, where's that turnover chain?
Yeah.
Oh, it's still locked up in the cabinet down there.
No, I can see where you're going with that. Like, it's kind of like legendary. Like, how do you top the buzz that was the turnover chain this year? Like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Like, quit while you're ahead type of deal?
Yeah, so quit while you're ahead. That's my thing.
So, but you're saying you have to find something else to replace
yes.
the turnover chain.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Which, I disagree. I think you have to just keep it.
Yeah. I just think you got to be careful.
Yeah, I mean,
shelf
it will
life.
Just be embarrassing for them, but that's fine.
Right.
They can take
live
it.
With it.
Right?
Like, I care, because even if you didn't do it, the fans would still have on their t-shirts. They'd have the fake turnover chains. So I think you do have to roll with
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's invested.
The good news for them, though, is they're going to be dope next year. I mean, they're young. They're going to be dope. They're so
Let's
not gonna
hope
matter.
They're dope. Let's hope they are. No, I do. I think they will be. I think they're set. But I think they're a team that was kind of hot and cold, and which team are you going to get back? I think their bowl game against Wisconsin actually is going to be a key critical game for them leading in the next season. I don't know if they win that game, but if they have a close, good performance in that game, I think it bodes well for them. So that was one story in recruiting. I think it's a huge asset for them. You know what else is being used in recruiting? Age. We have age discrimination taking place because Dabo Swinney at Clemson is killing it. You talk about Miami killing it. Dabo's been killing it for years now. So there was a huge recruit, literally and figuratively, an offensive lineman, number one offensive tackle nationally, Jackson Carman. And he was going to be Ohio State. He was an Ohio native, but he flipped and chose Clemson over Ohio State. When they were asked about it, Dabo suggested when he was talking to Carman that he actually said that if he comes to Clemson, he knows Dabo will be there. And he said if he goes to Ohio State, Urban's getting older. You don't know if he's going to be around. Like, he threw out the age factor and was like, he's significantly younger. Is that fair in recruiting?
There's no way that he actually was like, oh, you're right. Yeah, let me do it because of that one reason.
Well, that would kind of give you a little bit of a red flag on that player. But the high schooler's like, who knows? A 17-year-old, he might take that into consideration and be like, oh.
All is fair in love, war, and recruiting. Like, and there is some factual like basis for this. Like, he bounced on Florida citing like health reasons, and he's what? 7-8 years older than he was then? Or is it been a decade since that happened?
This kid probably is not aware of those. So I'm sure.
Well, my job would be
Dabo,
to make you aware
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. Right? But that's the one where I think if you're having fun and you're talking, you're kind of talking smack. I mean, Urban Meyer's 53. It's not like he's Bill Snyder out of Kansas State. Mm-hmm. He's 78. There's real consideration if he's leaving. Right. So if Dabo's having fun with it and talking a little trash and be like, yeah, he's an old man, like making fun of it. But I think that's totally fair game. But if he did happen to bring up the heart issues at Gainesville, I think that's a little messed up. I think that's a little bit off base. Like,
I'm all for the trash talk. I support
The
it.
Trash talk is fun, but I think if you took it to the serious level, because Urban Meyer's wife, Shelley, has actually been very vocal when anybody, like, because there were a lot of jokes when Urban left Florida.
Right.
When Iowa State fans, Gator fans were taking shots saying, oh, after like their first loss, they were like, maybe he'll hang it up or maybe he'll have a heart attack. And his wife got ticked off. Like, this, it's an interesting angle. And Dabo said he wouldn't have gone there had the player not asked about it.
Okay.
So that was his kind of out for it. And in the scope of things, I guarantee you things that are way worse that are said in recruiting.
Well, that's my point. I mean, if you don't think, like, these guys at these major programs are pulling out all stops, like, everything is fair game. I mean, NCAA violations out the window, right? Like, we're not giving anybody cash or anything like that, although, like, I wouldn't count that out. Like, seriously, let's be real.
No,
like,
there's payments
come
on the
table. There's a reason the guys get called bag men and people
wind
up. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But all the rest of that, like, I don't care what you say about Urban Meyer. Now, like, his wife may not love it, and it may not be based in like actual facts about what type of like heart condition he had. But if you're going to use that to get a recruit, like, I believe more people do that than don't do that.
Yeah.
Like in terms of unethical, maybe things said to recruits about another program. This
yeah,
is
I agree.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Yep. No doubt Dabo and Urban probably, it's probably 100% that they're going to be in the Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame. There was also the NBA candidates were announced. So this is our shout out segment.
Oh, word.
That Debo's coming up. Okay. With. You didn't see this?
I saw something right, on Instagram before I went to sleep.
So did I. Yeah. I saw our boy Rip. Yeah. Our boy Rip.
Oh, Rip's in the class?
Come on. You didn't know he was a candidate?
F Richard Hamilton, man. I've been trying to play some golf with Richard Hamilton for like the last 3 weeks, man. He went MIA on me.
So, serious talk, though.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Yeah,
you think
Rip,
so?
Yeah, Rip was a bad boy, man, and did it for a long time. Like, I you know, multiple – how many championships did Rip win?
One.
Win one?
But you factor in college, too, because it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
It's the basketball
Hall of
Fame.
Oh, yeah, see, I didn't, yeah. So they don't do it NBA, it's just basketball
it's
Hall
basketball.
Of Fame?
Anyone can get in, and that title in college at UConn definitely helps this case.
Rip is a Hall of Famer, man. That team, that they call themselves the best five alive. I don't know about that.
All right,
not sure about that, Rip, but, yeah, he's a bad boy.
So I agree with you. But then you start looking at the guys that he's candidates with. Like, are they're not putting them all in. Is there a limit, or could they put them all in? Because you also have Steve Nash. Is he in? He's got to be in, right?
Yeah. I mean, without
MVP,
a doubt.
League MVP. Jason Kidd?
Yes.
Is he this class? Yep. Kidd's in this class, too. Who else is in this class? Ray Allen?
Yes.
Yes, all the 3-point
special. Hill?
Grant Hill?
Yes.
Chauncey Billups?
Yes.
You're just throwing everybody in.
I mean, they're all.
This is a good one. Chris Webber?
Yes. Like, this is a good class. I say, I mean, is there a limit? Is there
they're
a percentage?
They're not all going to get in this year.
They're not. Well, so that's the thing.
First ballot.
Right. First ballot would.
So who are the top? Who are going to be the automatic first ballot locks that we're talking about?
Steve will be first ballot. I imagine who else was in the class?
Jason you say? Kidd.
Jason Kidd is first ballot.
Ray Allen has to be.
Ray Allen is first ballot. Mm-hmm. And that left Chauncey, Rip, and Chris Webber.
Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace.
So just
Grant Hill. I think Grant Hill and Ben Wallace first ballot.
So because I think it's a tougher – like I'm with you. I usually trend to I think of these guys as great. It's like throw them in there. But I think when you look at – like you can't put them all in at once. So just looking up real quick a ranking of, you know, who rank them. Kidd number one going in. Nash number two. Ray Allen number three. Chauncey four going in. Grant Hill five. Ben Wallace six. This is what I'm getting to. Chris Webber seventh. Jack Sikma, so you're going old. Tim Hardaway, Kevin Johnson, no Richard Hamilton on this list.
No Richard Hamilton
on
the list.
This list.
Yeah, I think Rip ultimately gets in. Not first ballot, but I think Rip gets in. I think when you combine what he did in college with what he did in the pros, I think like that team, that Detroit Pistons team, was loaded, man. Like I think. You know, you call me crazy, but I think like guys like Rasheed Wallace ultimately get in. Like Rasheed was a bad man in Portland and in Detroit and with North Carolina. So, you know, there's a big discrepancy between first ballot and getting into the Hall of Fame, but I still think Rip winds up getting in.
All right. We talked about it a little bit off the top. There was a bowl appearance. Congratulations, FIU. Finished with 8 or 9 wins. So
congrats
on
that.
Had a nice year. Nice turnaround.
It was 9 because it would have been 10, I think, if they had won last night.
So congratulations. Didn't exactly go the way you wanted it to. A little 28-3 loss, but they still got there, so congrats on that. Florida State, not exactly the season we were hoping for the Seminoles.
Congrats on
that. They are headed to the Independence Bowl, but yesterday there was a bit of controversy that came out. Reddit actually had their investigative reporting unit getting after it. So there was a report out that FSU was not eligible for the bowl game because they got to 6-6. They scheduled they made up the Hurricane game because they wanted to get that 6th win. But one of their opponents this season, Delaware State, apparently it's an FCS opponent, so they have to meet a requirement of how many scholarships they have to give. It's 63.
Yes.
And you have to give a certain percentage of those scholarships to your players or else you don't count as a win for Florida State. Because Florida State pays them to come play them. They're supposed to use that money to go pay their program. So they didn't do it. So basically it was an extreme oversight by the NCAA and anybody else paying attention because nobody was. They're just like, hey, Florida State got their 6th win. They're in the bowl. Technically, they're bowl ineligible.
Oh, no.
But it's 5 days away. The game is, so they couldn't say
shut
thanks,
that down.
But sorry, not sorry. So, but they're,
shut that
they're
down,
still
bro.
Getting to play. But Florida State, this is what's crazy. They have this 36-year longest streak of bowl games in history. Does this have an asterisk next to it?
No. One's ever going to remember.
Don't they already have asterisks?
Hey! Don't be bringing that up, Tebow. They actually do. And Virginia Tech, these punks, Virginia Tech's Twitter handle actually said, so they tweeted out something, said, their bowl streak ended in 2005 when the games were vacated. That was the year Florida State had the academic scandal. And Bobby Bowden, some of his wins were vacated as well, even though he's still better than Joe Paterno. Get out of here, Debo.
Clearly.
Yes, clearly.
I agree.
So there was a little bit of controversy about it. I think if you play in the game, it counts.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. There was a little bit of controversy about it. No one remembers that.
Right.
No one remembers it, right? The streak's still going on, and this one will continue.
Although Virginia Tech's the only one trying to get loud about it.
All yours count, though, right?
Yes, my count, legit, 100%.
You know what they should do? They should let Florida Atlantic play in the game because they're more excited than
FSU. Watch it. They might, and they actually probably would beat Southern Mississippi, too. All right, let's do some picks and props. Let's make some people some money.
All right, we're going to get to the NFL, but first we always have to start with the records. So Danny, through 3 weeks, is 5-6-1, but he has an extra 4 games picked because of that DNP.
That's inexcusable, though. I should be above 500. That's embarrassing.
And then Raja is 3-5-1. He's on the comeback trail.
It doesn't even seem right.
You got hot. You got hot last week. Let's go.
So today we're going to infuse some new blood and see if Hannah can actually win the listeners.
Uh-oh.
Some money.
All right.
Week 16 in the NFL. Some games that don't matter at all. Some games that matter a lot. Atlanta, New Orleans, maybe one of the most underrated rivalries in the league. And that ended in exciting fashion in week 14.
Breeze looking. End zone shot is intercepted by Deion Jones.
So we fast forward 2 weeks after that 20-17 ATL home victory. And now they're 5.5-point underdogs on the road versus the Saints.
You remember the story of this game. It wasn't even that interception at the end. It was Sean Payton.
Hey, it's coming in the props part.
All right, just a little side note, a little added motivation. I think the Saints are the best team in this division. Do they control their own destiny, Debo?
Yeah.
They do. I think they win out. I think they win this game. And I think they make a statement, and they win big. I think they run away with it and cover.
You think they're going to cover?
Yeah. They'll win by a touchdown or more.
They win by a touchdown.
And I think they'll run it up because Sean Payton was embarrassed by doing that little gesture and then losing.
I'm going to take I agree with you. I think the Saints win. I do believe them to be ultimately better than the Falcons. But, all right, so just let's make sure my jargon is correct on this. I'm going to take the Falcons with the points.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. All right. There you go. Good. So you say the Falcons cover. They're going to keep it close enough. All right. Hannah, what do you got?
I'm really thinking deep about this one. I don't know. I kind of want the Falcons to win this one.
All right.
Okay.
I
think like I could see that happening. I'm going to go with
Falcons money line, or you say Falcons cover? You're with Raja.
You're going heart overhead.
Yeah.
Heart overhead.
There you go. There you go. All right. So we got everything covered.
All right. So as Danny alluded to, the prop in this one, in that week 14 matchup, Sean Payton channeled his inner Reggie Miller on the sideline with a choke gesture. So are we going to see a clap back over under one choking gesture made by Falcons players?
Oh, by the Falcons.
On Sunday. So in retaliation, are we going to see that choking gesture?
Were there any ramifications for the choking gesture?
Were
there any? Did the NFL?
People just said he was an immature 49-year-old.
Yeah, said classless. Not a classy thing to do.
Who cares?
He was all over
the
refs, too. Like, they didn't like it. What do you think?
Over, baby.
You think somebody's going to do it?
Dude, if there are no, fines for it, it's happening.
I agree.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say both teams' coaches are going to be saying, I don't want any nonsense. I've been in that locker room before. I've heard it. They're going to, it's the no fun league. They're going to say, don't do anything extra creative. No, it is. Even though they're trying to change it. All right, next up.
The next one. All sorts of gestures were made whenever the Pats and the Bills meet up. And do you know we have a member of Bill's Mafia with us today?
Whoa!
I'm sorry,
do.
Not just a member. I am like the lead.
You're like a founding member.
I'm the leader. Founding member.
So if you claim to be a founding member of Bill's Mafia.
Yes.
How many times
don't do this to me?
You jumped off a trailer
at
a tailgate onto a table and broken it, and the table has to be on fire.
It has to be on fire.
Yeah,
that was
my question. Fire. On. So, all right, let's see where you're at. What you got?
First of all, I thought you were going to ask how many Super Bowls we won, and I was about to walk out of this room.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Born and raised in Florida, always went to Bills games as a kid. I used to come back here. Everyone would be a Dolphins fan. They'd be like, why, why do you think those Bills games are so fun? I was like, no, they're crazy. They're real crazy. Like, I'm telling you guys, they're way crazier than these Dolphins fans. People never believed me. And now Bills Mafia is so popular and trendy, and everybody is just, you know, so extra with the lighting themselves on fire and jumping
dangerous
into tables.
And idiotic.
I have never done it, but I have watched people do it my entire life. I thought it was normal. I thought that's what people do at at tailgates. The ketchup guy.
Yes.
Have you seen this dude, Raja?
Explain to him, Kenny the ketchup guy.
The ketchup guy. Yeah. Every single home game, he hasn't missed a home game since he was like a fetus. Okay. So he stands there and he asks his friends to put ketchup on his hot dog, and he stands there with his shirt off and he holds his ketchup or his he holds his hot dog out, and people stand on top of his trailer and throw ketchup and mustard all over him.
I'm talking like you can't see the
you
dude
can't see his face
done.
He has a beard. It is gross, and it's like always, like, you know, the weather in Buffalo is terrible, right? So like, if you just put that in the mix, there's just like ketchup slush everywhere. Like, it is the grossest
thing
in the world.
Let me get this straight. You have an idiot with a big beard standing with a shirt off and a hot dog in the air, and people just
love it. Bills Mafia is like obsessed. Like, if you don't get there in time to see Kenny, game over.
Yeah, you're not a real Bills
Mafia.
Yeah,
if you don't even know about Kenny,
does Kenny go into the game after that?
Yeah. He hasn't missed a home game. Like, I'm telling you, we're like family
friends.
He's got to go in the RV and take a shower.
My dad still has season tickets. Every game, he's like, yo, Kenny, what's good? Like, they're like.
Can we get Kenny on the pod?
Yeah, Kenny. Let's get Kenny on the pod.
Let's get Kenny on the pod.
Ketchup,
I want to hear that.
What, they call
what do you
Kenny
think
ketchup?
Kenny does for work? He's like an accountant. Like, he goes in the
he
office.
Definitely just punches numbers.
Yeah, totally. All right. So great. About the game.
So.
The Bills are winning.
Oh.
There you go.
All right, they're getting 11.5 points.
Did we even get to the pick?
She's going outright again.
Patriots favored by 11.5 at home.
I think the Bills actually cover. I think they keep it close. The Patriots, a lot of controversy about Brady Belichick, maybe a beef with his trainer. I think this is a game the Bills kind of hanging on by a thread. I think they keep it close enough.
I agree. I think the Bills are going to cover. I think the Pats win, but 11, that's a big number, 11.5. And the Bills are not that, they're not that bad. Is Tyrod Taylor back this week? Or are we talking Peterman?
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got them back. To cover.
Guys, this is the first time they like have a chance of being in the playoffs since 1999.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Don't get your hopes up.
I'm not, but I'm just saying, I mean, the Patriots just lost to Miami. We just beat Miami.
Yeah.
My picks don't matter, but if all three of you are picking Buffalo,
you're fading us for sure.
Absolutely rolling with the
Patriots. Yeah, anytime you see that, anytime you're watching a prediction on TV and you see like the whole graphic across the bottom and it's one color, every single time, take the other side.
Where's the game? I'm sorry. Where's the game?
In New England.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
the bad
matter.
Part.
Doesn't matter.
For me, it does. I'm gonna fade Danny now. I'm gonna say Patriots.
Oh, so you're flip flopping?
Yeah, I'm flip flopping.
Right.
No,
it's true. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So Hannah and I have the Bills.
We'll see how Hannah feels about the prop on this one. They're not in Orchard Park anymore, but Buffalo fans arrested outside the stadium -37 versus Bills fans arrested inside Gillette Stadium.
Inside.
You're going to take the +37 inside.
I would say inside as well has the greater chance for an arrest, because outside it's kind of fun. And then once the game starts, don't forget there's been more liquor consumed and people get a little bit more hostile. The trash talk can elevate because there's actually something taking place in the field. Like, if your team's getting blown out, it's going to get ugly. That's where you get arrested.
Definitely inside. Outside is a party. Inside, you got...
I'm excited for this game. I'm excited to see the signs that Bills Mafia comes up with alone. Those are my favorite when they play in New England.
Don't get your hopes up.
Whose side are you on?
Clearly not yours today.
I'm a Dolphins fan, so I got the Dolphins, but they're done. They're toast. All right, next up.
Ezekiel Elliott back from the beaches of Cabo. The Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites against the Seahawks, and bettors are factoring in the return of the back. 59% of the money is on Dallas.
Wow, I'm going to take the Cowboys to cover. I think that Russell Wilson and his like just workload there is too much. They're banged up defensively. I think Zeke is going to be super fresh, which brings me to a whole other thing. Who the hell is allowed to go to Cabo when you're suspended? Like, when did that start happening?
Who's not allowed to talk about it? That's the most annoying part.
Right.
Wait, I want to know what he did. I want to know his workout regimen. Do you see him?
Yeah, he's chiseled. Wasn't there a little bit of video of him on a beach, like running? They showed him training a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
but like,
socially.
I want the full. Yeah.
Why can't you do that in Dallas?
Because you can't go to the facilities, so why not go to Cabo?
So he was banned from all facilities.
I think so, yeah. When you're suspended, you're not allowed to be back.
There's SMU right there. There's probably any number of training facilities.
Hold on a second. Why are you hating on Z?
You can't go to Cabo in the middle of a season. It's like you're on vacation?
Hold on. Do you realize? Yes. But at least he's training. Do you remember Tom Brady on his suspension went to Italy and was caught posing? He was bathing nude with Giselle.
Jesus.
So if he's allowed to do that, Z can go train in Cabo.
The NFL, I thought it was a no fun league. Like NBA, you ain't getting a paid vacation.
Not while you're suspended.
Come on, man.
You can do anything you want. I am with you. I feel like Zeke back. The Cowboys are going to roll. The only thing that scares me is I feel like this is exactly what Vegas wants you to think. Like, hey, this, and I think the Seahawks are toast. I think they're going to hang it up. I think they've quit on the season. But I'm still going to take the Cowboys. I think they do roll with Zeke back in the lineup. Hannah, who do you like?
Yeah, I take the Cowboys on this one.
All right, so the Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly. Debo's taking the philosophy. I kind of like it. All right, what's your prop for this one?
All right, so I like to have fun with the props. You guys know that. Threw in The Bachelor last week, which you guys didn't necessarily like. But this is a bit taboo and a serious issue. That being said, the number of undiagnosed concussions in Russell Wilson's career over under 2.5. Now, this is relevant because yesterday Seattle was fined $100,000 for the failure to go through the protocol with Wilson a couple of weeks ago.
You know, Debo, this is a very serious topic.
I know.
CTE.
It's something
I take very
seriously.
Yes, it's the war on football, which I feel like I'm a general in the defense of the war on football. It's absolutely over. Here's the thing. This is what drives me nuts. How do you define concussion? Ask anybody. Ask 10 doctors. They'll give you 10 different answers. Like, there is no, official definition for concussion. It could be as simple as, and this happens in college and the NFL. If you go over the sideline and say, I got dinged, you're out. Like, you can't even go back in.
Right.
I said I got dinged at least 100 times throughout my career, and I just played. But now it's a different definition because we're very careful. I'm saying it's absolutely over.
But we know that protocol should last more than a millisecond.
Well, he is drinking that water, though.
There you go.
And he's got his concussion cure water.
I'm going to go with over as well.
Easy.
All right, last pick.
All right, let's see if Danny and Raja and Hannah now stick to the rules of gambling. So 67% of the money is on the Jags to cover against the 49ers, even with their new quarterback who's kind of good. The Jaguars, 4-point favorites against the 49ers on the road.
Faded.
Of all Jags.
Yep. Oh, wait a second. She's going with the dumb money.
Against the strategy.
She's going public money.
Yeah.
I'm going Jimmy G.
I'm going
Garoppolo's undefeated against, as the 49ers.
Yeah, but against the Jags, no.
No, he's going to get it done. It's in San Francisco.
Jags D is real too.
That's another one I love. The home dog. I love it. I actually love this one. I might take the 49ers to win outright. All right.
I am taking them to win outright.
You are too?
Yeah, like I'm just.
How does that work, Debo? Do we get credit for that if they don't win but cover? Yeah, we get credit for that. We need that. We're talking big game right now.
You're trying to do anything to boost those.
I am. All right, what's the prop?
All right, I'm glad we have Hannah here for this one. People are saying the 49ers are hot. People also saying and keep saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is hot. So, number of times a reference is made to Jimmy G looking the part. Something along those lines. Over under one during the broadcast on Sunday.
Over.
You way could have, over.
You could have set it at 10, and it's still going over.
You think?
Absolutely.
The broadcast
and haven't been. It's a cliche filled business. Like, and it's just a default mode.
All right, I'm gonna reset it to 8.5.
Over.
Over.
No. 8.5 is, but it's gonna go over one easy. They love saying that. That's been the conversation. It's been a steal. They stole the second round pick. They got him from the Patriots. And you know what? He does look the part.
He's good looking.
Garoppolo. Is Jimmy Garoppolo fever out there right now? Is that what's happening?
Oh,
it's out there.
Big time.
Jimmy G. Yeah. All right. Hey, so what are the Niners going to look like next year?
Legit.
They got to bring
really
him back.
Good. Yeah. I like Shanahan. The Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch combination. I think they're on the same page. I know both of them. Lynch was my teammate with the Broncos. He's one of the best dudes out there. Smart as the GM. And Kyle Shanahan was actually like a offensive quality control, like the lowest on the totem pole. He's 26 years old when I was the Broncos. He's sharp too. They're going to be good. And especially, I mean, if Garoppolo seriously continues to play the way he has, they actually have a quarterback. Now they can get him some players around him. We're going to do that. All right, so our Christmas gift to Raja was we let him bounce early so he could go spend the holidays with his kids. So thanks to Raja.
He's been awesome. Kids.
Exactly. They really are. If you haven't seen him, it's kind of weird, but check him out on Instagram. You can go follow him there.
Give
he does
like.
Have the private account, which is probably
blocked.
The way everybody should do.
He's blocked?
So maybe he won't grant you access, but his kids are really cute anyway. But you know what it does? It gets us to a little bit of time to know Hannah a little bit better.
Yes.
And so we're going to do a little 5-star Q&A with me and Hannah. So Debo, what do you got for us?
5-star Friday. Right?
Yeah, 5-star Q&A on Fridays.
So if you leave a 5-star review with a question, we're going to answer it.
No matter how good or bad the question is, we have
yes.
to ask it.
We've had both.
Yes, we've had both. And some examples today of both. So what do you got for us?
From Buffrin, mm-hmm. 04 on Apple Podcasts. Any chance Texas Tech will win a championship in the next 10 years?
All right, this is a lame question. First of all, the answer is no, and that's all I want to go into it. But first of all, they can't get in because they're not a top-tier program. And it's crazy, only the top 20 programs can win it, and Texas Tech is not one of those. Good luck winning a Big 12 championship. That's what you shoot for
thank
first.
Thank you to Buffrin for the rating, though.
Yeah, yes, yes, thank you for
thank
the
you for
thank
the five
you for
stars.
The. But I would rather you. Have something off the wall, something fun, other than, hey, is my team any good?
From Linnell O'Shane on Apple Podcast, best athlete you went against that never made it due to injuries or off the field issues.
Ooh, this is good. So at Florida State, there were a ton of guys I played with in high school. I played in some all-star games where you played 4- and 5-star guys. I'm trying to think. So I had a guy that I played with at Florida State, and he was really good at Florida State. His name was Tamarik Vanover. He was probably the most talented guy I played with that didn't succeed in the NFL. And I'll never forget, like we tried to talk to him, myself, the coaches. We were sitting in class. We both were the same class, so we enrolled early to summer school. It was about 6 weeks of summer session. And we sat in like this English 101 class next to each other. And I remember Mark Rick said, hey, can you keep an eye on Tamarik for me? I'm like, sure. So we're making sure we're there. So he would go, and we'd be sitting there, and everybody has like their lecture, their notebook and pen, taking notes or just listening. So he had, instead of a notebook, he had the preseason publications, the magazines, like the football, and he would just sit there and okay. read them. And then, even worse, he would kind of fall asleep while he was reading
oh,
them.
Oh, no.
So I was like, uh-oh, we could be in trouble with this guy. Great dude. Like, I love Tamarik.
Why
awesome.
Didn't he make it?
Because he didn't work hard enough. Like, he didn't stay academically eligible, so that killed him. And then he just, I think he got to that point where he got to expecting you should be great and you don't have to do the work. Mm-hmm. And by, when I say do the work, it's not only on the field, but it's off the field. Like you have to be a professional and be a student athlete. Mm-hmm. And as much as people want to say, hey, I do think you should let guys go pro, but he didn't succeed in the NFL because he didn't get, you have to prepare almost like a classroom to learn an NFL playbook. It's complicated. So you have to put in that extra time. And he wasn't willing to do it. And great dude. And I think he would be willing to admit that he kind of looked back right. and says, man, what I could have been.
So he played 9 seasons in the NFL but just didn't live up to the potential.
He could have been Randy Moss. And he played in the CFL. Like he left college early.
And Third round pick.
Because he went to the CFL, played up there, then played with the Chiefs for most of his career. But, I mean, he could have been a perennial Pro Bowler type guy. I mean, he had that type of talent and just never lived up to that greatness. But that speaks to how naturally gifted he was, mm-hmm. the fact that he was able to get that long.
Anyone that missed the pros entirely?
There was a guy named Marquette Smith, was a 5-star who came to Florida State. He actually lived in the room below me. He wore number 22. I remember that because he had 22 on his car on the license plate in front of it. He was the USA Today Player of the Year
wow.
coming out, and he was all the hype coming out. Never really played at Florida State sparingly. Ended up transferring to UCF and then just kind of fizzled out. He was not that big, but like a guy that was Tim Tebow-level hype in high school. Like he was this surefire, going to be a home run college yeah. player, NFL player. And just never got it. Great dude. And I loved him too. Mm-hmm. And I think his might have been one where I don't think it was a work ethic thing. I just don't know he was good as everybody thought. Like just the gifts that were there as a whole.
I wish I could answer this question.
Oh, you got some? What?
Best athlete who'd ever made it? Me.
Oh, really?
Right? That's so it. I'm joking.
So were you an athlete?
No, growing up, I mean, I'm totally joking. I did not play
college.
No,
but did you play high school sports?
I went to art school. So no.
Oh man, you went to art school?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
I just put the L on my forehead. It's fine. It's totally fine. Okay, Dustin NVA on Twitter. He's one of our most dedicated listeners. He said, okay, I'm 31. Guys, this is real right now. He said, okay, I'm 31 and I feel like I'm at that stage in life where I'm not sure what kind of clothing to wear. I feel like I'm either wearing things I'm too old for or things I'm too young for. Example, my shoes. I have a pair of DCs and a pair of slip-on Skechers. What's the happy median?
I'm going to say you ditch both.
I was going to try to be nice, but I'm glad you just did
that. I'm going to say, Dustin, love you listening. Pay attention. We'll get you some help. We'll get you the help you need. 31 is a tricky age. Look, I'm in my 40s, and I still think I dress like a teenager. My daughter, so the other day we had a golf tournament. We played in a father-daughter tournament. And I get that the high socks, the stance socks, they're kind of in, right? Mm-hmm. So I wore some high socks and the golf shorts. Not high, like mid-level, right? They're not the ankle socks. They're not all the way up. They're mid-length. So I wore those black on black. It was a strong, risky look. And I asked my daughter on Instagram.
Okay.
I put out a story, and I was like, she was embarrassed. She's like, Dad, you can't be wearing those socks.
I think that works.
I do too. She said, Dad, do you think you're a 15-year-old? Like, that was her response to me.
Wait, how old is your daughter?
She's 10. So she's, like, starting to get where she's getting a little attitude. She's starting to stand up to Daddy a little bit more and call me out. She thinks I'm like Dad now. It's not Daddy, I love you. It's more like, oh, that's my dad. Like, he's embarrassing me. So that's where he is. But Dustin, at 31, different stage in your life, it is a transitional stage. You can't keep dressing like you're going to class,
okay,
like college.
Slip-on Skechers have got to go. Dustin, I think you're incredible. Love your slip-on Skechers. Just don't wear them in public. DCs, are those skater shoes?
Yeah, I feel like they are like skater shoes. Which skater shoes, like if you get a pair of Vans, like GQ has actually officially endorsed Vans as cool to wear with a suit.
They are.
You'd have to really have some swag to go with that look.
I think Converse Vans, those are universally, like those work with everything.
Yes,
right?
Agreed. So there's your solution for Dustin is trade out the DCs and the Skechers and get some Vans.
Yes.
You kind of still feel
Vans,
or some Converse. Some Chucks, some old school Chucks.
Yes.
There's your happy medium.
Yeah, just got to go like classic look, I think.
Yeah, the best advice I always heard, and this is an axiom you'll hear, is don't dress for the job you have.
Yes.
Dress for the job you want. Mm-hmm. I got a guy with me on my Sirius show, though. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want him to get in trouble. He wears a suit, not a suit and tie. He wears a tie every day to work. And he's a producer. He's not on camera, not in the behind the scenes.
Oh, wow.
And it's radio, but he wears a tie. I look at him differently now. Much respect.
A lot of respect.
To him.
I'm going to come in here dressed like Cardi B one day.
That's the job you want? So you want to be a rapper? I like it.
Right. I'm just talking so much smack. I can't rap. I can't play sports, guys. It's fine.
But you can paint like a champ.
Yes, but I can paint.
All right. That's our 5-star Q&A for this week. Keep them coming. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Throw in a question on there, and we are required to answer them.
We will.
All right. Since it's almost our last show, we're gonna have our bowl preview next week. Since it's almost our last show of 2017, we're gonna do what Eric has tabbed: take it or leave it.
We're leaving DCs in 1995.
Yes,
yes.
Sorry,
that is
Dustin.
A good call. So this is our last one. Let's do it. So what are we taking or leaving from 2017 to 2018?
Okay, the first one on this list: take it or leave it. Mumble rap, which I don't even like the way that's written.
Well, I don't either. I need a clarification.
That's a genre.
What's mumble rap?
It is for real genre. Like if I go to Apple and check out new music, I can browse mumble rap.
I'm a huge fan of hip hop. I love the new kind of hip hop. I don't know if this like is what you mean, like Lil Uzi Vert.
I was gonna go Kendrick Lamar.
Lil Yachty, Young Thug, that type.
Let's keep it going. I love it.
Keep it going.
Designer, Future.
Future's Designer. So good.
I like Future. Designer, I can't stand a word he's saying.
Okay.
Here's my question, what I need. What you got?
It was coined by Wiz Khalifa last year.
Oh, okay.
I like Wiz, always, but he's not a mumble rapper.
He's calling out others.
All right. So here would be my thing. I like hip-hop, too. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to it as much as I used to, because when you're driving around with a 10, 8, and 5-year-old.
Right.
This is what bothers me, though, because I love the genre. And I don't think you have to be like all clean, but can we just get something like where I, because my daughters constantly are saying, Dad, we're going to turn the channel. It's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Like they're going earmuffs. Can we get somebody who can just rap talented without having to bring it down?
Absolutely. And that exists. I mean, like.
Like who? All right. Give it to me.
Jay-Z 444.
Yeah. Jay-Z's.
That was a good album. You could let that ride.
Right. It's not. That is true. It's not clean.
You could let that ride. Yeah. But it's not the mumble rap. Like it.
There's got to be some happy medium, and Lecrae is good, but I'm not saying that's to be gospel rap in between hardcore. There has to be a happy medium, right?
Yes.
Somebody who's just good.
I think that you could let Drake ride. I'm not saying
Drake is good
in front of your like 10-year-olds, but I'm saying to just have in the car. You know who dropped an album this year?
Who?
We talked about this. Will Smith's son.
Jaden?
Yes. It's called Siri, like S-Y-R-E, and it's a really good album. And I actually picked my brother up from the airport today, my younger brother. He's not that young. He's 24. Yeah. But and I was playing the whole album, and he was like, what is this? And I was so excited to tell him, oh, it's Jaden Smith. The album is fire.
My kids love him because he was in Karate Kid, the remake. So they know who he is. So I could be like, this is Karate Kid rapping. Mm-hmm. Although he's kind of lost it. Isn't he a little out there?
He's kind of in that L.A. scene that, like, you know, the crazy... I don't
like outfit like
trendy.
Wardrobe yeah like really over the top.
I'm not a fan of that whole LA vibe. Like he's like best friends with the Kardashians and all of that stuff.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. But
I mean, he's a famous kid.
Yeah, he's a famous kid.
Yeah, he's a famous kid. Yeah, he can do
that. Danny, can we give an update from the last podcast? Have you listened to The Lox?
No, I still have not listened to The Lox. I still could not tell you a song that The Lox
I still
have
not listened to Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, see, you
Stone Temple Pilots.
Do you know who they are, Hannah? Do you know Stone Temple? My goodness, I'm getting too old. But I think there's a greater chance of you guys liking STP, Stone Temple Pilots, or Alice in Chains, than there is of Lox, liking Lox.
I think this is a good transition to take it or leave it millennials, because I think Anna and I might fit into that group. Yeah, so take it or leave it, the term and millennials themselves.
Millennials themselves, or like the stigma that comes with the millennials?
I've met a lot of millennials, and there is a lot of truth. Like, those stigmas become stigmas for a reason.
Okay. Give me a stigma.
Most successful millennials that I like, mm-hmm. that have success, don't fit into that stigma. But I think the majority of millennials do. So, okay. I don't think being a millennial works in the real world.
What's your stigma when you say stigma?
I think there's a laziness, entitlement. I think there's a question, like I'm going to question everything that's thrown my way.
Okay.
And I don't know if that works in a work environment. Yeah, it's great to say I can do my own thing and be my own person. But in the real world, mm-hmm. like when you get a job and you got to go to work every day, I don't think that fits.
I do see your side when it comes to a certain part of that, like the laziness. What I don't like, and this was what we just talked about earlier, was what people wear to the office, right? You say dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yes.
I don't like it when I see coworkers wearing like sweatpants.
Pajamas.
Yes.
Which we get sometimes here at work.
And again, we work in an industry where people are like very comfortable and, you know, they're sitting down and they're editing in a room for hours. So I get that. You want to be comfortable. But I'm not a fan of that. I've never been a fan of that. And I do see it in millennials.
So some characteristics of millennials, this is according to Wikipedia, generally marked by an increased use and familiarity with communications, media, and digital technologies. So I would say social media is going to be the downfall of our society. Like, it's greater than it is. Seriously, it might be, but like there is, I think millennials have lost the ability to communicate, how to date, how to function, because you're doing everything online.
Amen.
And it's like, so I don't know. I think we're losing our way because of that.
I am a millennial. What is like the actual cutoff?
You can be up to like 39 and be a millennial.
Okay,
still 35 maybe.
I was born in 1991.
I'm 26. We're doing our research here furiously. Birth rates in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
So yeah, that goes back pretty far.
Yeah. No, so I'm a millennial. Do I do anything that really annoys you? Am I lazy?
No. That's why I said you guys both work really hard. You guys are both millennials. That's why I like working with you.
Okay.
But I've been with some who like don't return phone calls, don't want to talk on the phone because all they want to do is text back.
No, I don't like that.
That's my beef there.
So our classic source was Wikipedia says the cutoff is 36 years old right
see?
Now.
Bam, 36.
Wow, that's like
really
10
old.
Years older than me.
And
okay.
We'll have to see what the next generation is. I don't know what my kids are, the next generation, whatever that
I'm
is.
I'm going to say leave the millennials because
all
of them are my friends.
Leave them behind.
Them.
There we go.
No. I mean,
grow up.
Like, oh, wait, I said it backwards. I meant take them. I want to take them with me. Sorry.
No, leave them behind. Friends. You were right the first time.
Okay, take it or leave it. LaVar Ball.
So I can't stand him.
I love him.
Oh, gosh. Why? He is, well,
like,
you like the
not?
Kardashians, right?
Yeah, but I think why not? So in the beginning, I hated him. I was like, what a clown. Get off of my television. Why is everyone talking about you? But then it just became, you know what? Embrace. If you're going to be a clown, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to love you for it. I'm going to expect this now. So now, as long as I'm talking about him, everything's fine in the world.
He's not going away. Like, he's here, whether we like it or not. He supplies us in the media with a lot of content. Like, we end up talking about him a lot because he does this crazy stuff all the time.
He's a genius.
I think he is, too. I think he's a mad genius. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. He'll say crazy stuff. I think he is the equivalent. He's Donald Trump and Kris Jenner and Vince McMahon all rolled up into one. And it's just this perfect thing for 2017. Mm-hmm. And I think it carries over into 2018. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Because he's this crazy dad. And he's making, like Kris Jenner, made the Kardashians a ton of money. He's probably going to end up making, not Lonzo, because Lonzo's good on his own. It's the younger two. He's going to end up making them a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, out of nothing.
Yep.
All right.
Great. Next up.
Take it or leave it. What else we have?
Do you realize, you have fidget spinners on the list. Do you guys know what fidget spinners are?
It's like that little thing that people spin on their fingers.
Yes.
I figure with daughters.
I was curious to see what you millennials would know about it.
And I have another question about take it or leave it. Speaking because you have daughters and I've been so curious about this one thing. But let's talk about fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners are done already. Like my daughters, and they were all the rage, and whoever invented them, good for you because you made a boatload of money. Because every kid had to have one. It was this obsession. But man, after like 2 weeks, they were done. Like they were done with it. You just spin them on your hand. Like
that's
it's just, yeah, it's really stupid. There are some like trick shot videos on YouTube you can check out. They're done.
How did schools handle them this year?
They had to ban them at my daughter's schools last year. And this year, I think to speak to how far they've fallen, I don't think they had to because they're kind of over them already.
Okay, that's good.
That's another young characteristic. Millennials, attention span is zero.
Oh, yeah.
Like read a book.
Right,
I'm sounding like
books.
The old man. Get off
you
my
are.
Lawn.
I read lots of books, and so do my friends. but again, I think my friends are great millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, another take it or leave it. I have to ask this. It isn't on there, but I know you have kids. Slime.
Oh, I'm glad.
Right?
That is
like,
really good.
I don't know what it is.
Did you say this on the podcast before?
Probably. Did you, either of you guys, are younger. Did you ever have slime growing up? Did you ever do it at school?
The only slime I saw ever was coming from a bucket on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you never created slime.
We had it up in the north.
You did?
Oh, you
yeah, because you need to figure out stuff to do in the north. That's where I was in Connecticut. You had to do it. But it is carried down to Florida now. It is driving me. I don't really care. But my wife.
No, it
so
was driving
slime,
insane.
You go and you can. There are different types. You basically buy toothpaste, like a bunch of crap. You throw it all in this thing and you create slime. And the kids love making it just because it's messy, but then they'll bring it in the car and they'll spill it on the carpet. They'll take it in their rooms.
No.
They'll spill it there. This, to me, unfortunately, I think is here. I think it's here again
what?
In 2017.
It's
going to stay in 18. And the Cannell household, it's banned because of the issue that you have there with it getting dirty.
I like your wife. Her and I would get along because
she's
I don't think
a neat
I
freak.
Do it.
She is a neat freak.
I always see those videos on YouTube of kids making their slime. And like, I'm at the age where a lot of my friends are, you know, like have new families and they're getting into that. And it just,
I got one for you guys. And I'll be curious to see if you know who these are.
Okay.
Logan Paul and Jake Paul. Here to stay or not? And do you know who they are?
Hannah, you got this?
You want to take it first?
Do you know?
I think they're going to get left behind in 2016.
You know who they are?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're in 2016.
Yeah.
I don't know. So my wife and I were
I know they're very popular amongst 10-year-olds,
which is crazy because they're like 19, 20, but they have a niche.
And now with Vine
coming
back?
The dudes make $16 million a year making YouTube videos. We were in New York City 2 weeks ago. Ran into Hannah.
I saw you.
We were there. Jake Paul was doing a flash store opening, a little pop-up shop. And there were 10 and 11-year-olds lined up for like city blocks in New York City.
Wait,
for
Logan that next, Paul
so they,
and who?
Jake Paul.
So,
oh, so you have no
so
idea
I don't
who they
know.
Are.
So
they're
I don't
YouTube
know who
sensation.
They
are. They're YouTube.
So these people came from Vine. I can recognize their faces.
So
for the next generation,
that's YouTube. Is it
idols and heroes are going to be YouTube and Instagram
you
stars
right.
And not movie stars and athletes? That's the way it is.
Wait a second. Movies are not going away. Don't tell me Tom Cruise is not going to be around.
Ew,
is
he
are your daughters
gonna be
bigger fans of Jake Paul? Or
Justin Bieber.
But he's a pop star. Like, he's not a movie star.
Okay.
They probably are bigger fans because they don't – my kids, the attention span, they don't love going to the movies for 2 hours. They probably would rather sit there and look up YouTube videos all day. So I think you're onto something. I did career day at school, And I was talking about broadcasting and how the business is changing. And, hey, there's all these different avenues. And I was like, you can go on your tablet, your computer. And they were all like, YouTube? And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, yay. They all watch YouTube nonstop. You know, so you are on – Debo's ahead of the curve.
You know what I think about it? It's so sad that kids won't have these days is, like, remember when we were in class – and we had a substitute, and you know the substitute wasn't going to do anything.
Yes.
And they would roll in that TV that was
just throw on a video
to the big metal stand.
Yep.
That feeling, like when you would get that, you'd hear the squeaky wheels, and it would roll into the classroom. You were like, yes. But like, what happens with kids now? They just go on YouTube?
Yep, pretty much. That's all they do.
We
they get free
like
time at
people.
The computer. Yeah, we
so,
do.
So like the highest paid actors last year, Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, who might relate to kids, Vin Diesel, Adam Sandler, Jackie Chan, Robert Downey Jr.,
The Rock. The Rock is just
that's
as
the
big.
One. Yeah,
he's the one. He kind of transcends. But yeah, Jake and
but
Logan
they,
Paul.
Your kids would be much more starstruck by 100 Instagram people or Vine people than
not
any
my
of these
kids.
Actors.
You know why? Because I'm gonna go no social media in my
I
household.
I would never know
soon.
Of like I was accidentally at a Vine party in LA and I didn't know.
A Vine
what
party?
The
I just
heck
didn't
is
know.
A Vine party?
It was a party. I went to a party with my friend who's a blogger.
Does everybody have their phone out?
They happened to be. I recognized these people. I was like, wait, where have I seen these people? And I was like, Eureka! They're from Vine. But I didn't know any of their names. I didn't know any of their –
Were they all
the
taking
resume.
Vines throughout the party?
No, this is when Vine was already done.
Oh.
This was
now
like
it's
over
back.
The summer.
So Vine is back in 2018. We'll have that to look
oh,
forward
that
to.
Would be good.
Fantastic.
We're going a little long today, but I want to keep it going. If people might not like their families over the Christmas
yeah,
holiday and just want to listen to extra
sure.
off the bench.
Yeah.
Danny, this is your last opportunity in the year 2017 to talk about the SEC and the SEC fans. Take or leave the SEC.
You might be surprised at my answer. I say keep them. Because as much as I get heat for the SEC, their fans, and it's not even a question, are the most passionate in the college football. And it's not even close. Like, and I think the product on the field is not as great as we make it out to be. But I don't think maybe we give enough credit to the fans in the SEC. Because they are absolutely nuts. They will get on there. They will cuss you out. But you know what they do? They know their football. And they know how to tailgate. And they know how to have a home field advantage, which is something you can't – you can say it about a couple schools, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, some schools throughout for some weekends. But top to bottom, week in and week out, the SEC delivers every time.
So one of our biggest haters on Twitter, we're going to shout this guy out.
Yeah, but he might listen, right?
It.
He said he's not
no,
listening.
No, he's back on the train.
Oh, he hate listens? All right.
So Kevin Rubio.
What's up, Kevin?
Hates us for weeks.
No. He doesn't hate us. He hates me.
Right. That's more accurate. He loves Raja.
Okay.
He says that you're in rehab. He's much more impressed by how you've handled SEC fans recently. He said, Danny in rehab now. That's good. I'm just a harsh critic, but he loves the podcast.
Well, see, that's something I'm leaving behind in 2017 is my Twitter persona. I'm changing it. I'm going into rehab.
What?
That's why so Hannah doesn't know this. So I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy, right? Like easy to talk to, like fun, like kind of nice, cordial personality.
Setting her up.
On Twitter, I come across like a jerk.
Okay, this is good. Maybe we could switch roles because I'm so bad on Twitter. I never tweet about anything. It takes me like a half an hour to write a tweet just because I don't care. Like I don't ever want to just I feel like my thoughts, nobody needs
just
to know.
Tweet
them.
About Alabama.
So maybe anytime you want to tweet something controversial, just text it to me.
Okay.
And
we'll
I will be the
should
bad
Should I
voice
or shouldn't I?
You.
Which kind of goes back to the thing I texted to Debo yesterday about my comment that I wanted to tweet out. He said no.
Oh, I was
so that
with
was
him.
Step
I said
one.
No.
That was step one. I shut it down, did not go there, although I still contend that I would have been more than my reason to go ahead and tweet that. But that's what I'm leaving behind. And so our boy Kevin, I hope he's impressed with Twitter rehab. It probably goes through bowl season. I'll let it ride out. But then as soon as college football season is over, I'm going to be the new Danny on Twitter.
The new I can't wait.
Yeah.
I
friendly,
didn't even really fully experience
how about,
the old Danny, but
no,
I'm ready.
No, all positive all the time. That's going to be in my Twitter bio.
So that starts January 9th?
Yes. But is that good? Does that make for a good follow? Because I don't
think,
like people that are all like, hey.
No, listen, Motivation Mondays are the worst thing ever. As long as you're not like fake motivational and like stupid inspirational, then you're a good follow, I think. I mean, again, this is coming from someone who only
But see, I think you're a good follow if you have opinions that you care about.
Right.
And I have stuff that I care about that I like to get off my chest. But lately, it has come across as get off my lawn, old man type stuff. And people are
upset. At least
you
have the self-awareness to admit that.
Yeah,
that's true.
But see, here's the thing that I used to have. Being on radio for 5 days a week, and we're on a pod, maybe we'll get to 5 days a week. But if people listen, they're always the consensus opinion of me as a analyst, broadcast, or whatever, is, oh, you're not a jerk like you are on Twitter. So I have. So we need to get more listeners so they realize I'm not a jerk, because all they're getting is Twitter a lot of times.
This is good. And if we get more listeners, they can maybe even know I have a Twitter.
That's right. Hannah Ostapchuk.
At Hannah Ostapchuk.
Well, okay. So we took a lot of, when I was at ESPN, they took a lot of like social media classes on what to do. We got to simplify.
Okay.
Simplify. Because if somebody looks up. No. Nope. It's all in the Twitter handle.
Oh, Hannah because Ostapchuk is not simple enough?
Your last name, the spelling
Listen,
is an issue.
O-S-T-A-P.
There's no shot.
No, you're what? She's not changing it?
My first name is H-A-N-A.
I have a 12-letter last name. It's tough.
Yeah, so you have it too? Oh, you guys are both hoes. That's why you guys aren't. That's why you guys got to shorten it. Now, you have no chance of getting at Eric, which would be awesome. I don't know who has that. Maybe Eric Trump. I'm trying to think of the most famous Eric that's out there. Could you get the...
At Hannah,
but with one N. That's
no,
unique.
It's H-A-N-A, which
that's unique.
It is Twitter unique, but there's absolutely no shot.
But Hannah, you go.
There's definitely not another Hannah Ostapchuk, and it's
yes, there definitely is
have.
Not. They're not finding you either, because it's too good. It's too hard to spell. And it doesn't spell like Ostapchuk.
Sorry,
correct.
But it's taken.
Yeah.
What, at Hannah? Who is it? Hannah Montana or somebody?
How many followers does this Hannah have?
You could buy it.
Oh, wait. Y'all, she has more followers than me.
How many does she have?
4,400.
Oh, that's pretty solid.
I'm sorry.
You
I
might be able to buy that. We might have to do that.
She worked for Twitter, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how all those people with the one name wonders. Like, or you have to be super
Savage.
Megastar. Like Savage. At Shaq. Shaq has one of those ones that's really easy.
Are your kids into Instagram yet?
Oh, yeah. But is they're not allowed to have their own.
Oh,
but they're
not.
Into mine. Like, they literally, like, and I told Raja, they love going to look at Raja's kids play basketball. Like, I think they have a crush on Raja's boys. He has three boys. I have three girls. And he has his daughter. But my daughters love going to check out Raja's Instagram account.
That is so funny. Yeah, I don't know if I would trust my kids with an Instagram.
I think 15 is the age I'm waiting till.
We need 15. A parenting segment in 2018.
Yeah, I think we do. I think parenting with Raja and Danny. Oh.
Brand
in
2018. It, sell it.
And Hannah, yeah. Because she's curious.
All right. And you could
and
also...
you have to bring the kids so I can babysit them.
All right, perfect. Yeah, yeah. Then you can get a feel for what it's like. All right, we good? Is that a wrap? Anything else we need to leave in 2017?
We're going to leave behind... I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
Right.
If you can think of something we should leave behind in 2017,
yeah, let us know.
Tweet at us.
And we'll leave it behind.
At right. Canell and Bell.
At yes. Canell and Bell. Make sure you follow us. Eric runs our account. He does a great job with that. Handles the haters excellently, as we saw with our boy Kevin Rubio. Even got him on the podcast. But that doesn't mean to hate us just to get on, because we'll shout you out if you're positive too. All right. Remember, next week, Monday, no show. It's Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the holiday. Wednesday, we're going to have the Get to Know You special with me and Raja. We break it down. Friday, we're going to have our New Year's 6 Bowl preview with Aaron Murray. And go ahead, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. We're all over Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere else we are. Don't forget our 5-star review on the iTunes page. And give us feedback at Canell and Bell, and be nice.